Welcome to Shaped by Scripture, a series designed to help you plant God's Word deep in your heart so it can transform your life. Every episode, we'll walk with you through God's Word, guiding you to memorize, understand, and apply Scripture in a way that strengthens your faith and shapes your daily walk with Christ. Here, we believe that when God's Word takes root in your heart, it changes everything from the way you think, to the way you live, to the way you love others. So take a deep breath, open your heart, and let's journey together as we are shaped by Scripture.
Welcome to Shaped by Scripture podcast. I'm Scott Thomas, pastor here at Lone Oak First Baptist Church, and I'm grateful you've chosen to spend a few minutes with me today as we allow God's Word to shape not only what we believe, but how we live. This week, we come to the final episode in our four-week study titled Money Matters, Stewarding God's Resources with Faith and Wisdom. Over the past month, we've explored what Scripture teaches about money, not as an end in itself, but as a tool entrusted to us by a faithful God. Today, we're closing the series with a passage that's both deeply practical and profoundly spiritual, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, and a theme that brings everything together, honoring God with your wealth. Let's take just a moment, though, to reflect on where we've been. In week one, we confronted the reality that money makes a terrible master and can be a faithful servant. We confronted the reality that money makes a terrible master, but can be a faithful servant. In week two, we talked about the burden of debt and the wisdom God offers for living free and faithful. In week three, we leaned into the joy of generosity, that giving is not a loss, but a gospel-shaped gain. And now, in week four, we arrive at the heart of biblical stewardship, not budgeting techniques, not financial guilt, but worship. Because stewardship, at its core, is not about money. It's about honor. It's about trust. It's about who sits on the throne of our hearts. Listen now to God's Word from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. The Scripture says, "Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine." This is the Word of the Lord. All right. To understand these verses rightly, we need to hear them in their context. Proverbs 3 is part of a father's instruction to a son, a pattern that runs throughout the Bible book. It's wisdom that's passed down in daily life and for daily life. Just before verse 9, we hear these familiar words, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding." That matters, because honoring God with your wealth is not a standalone command. It flows directly out of trusting God with your life. In the world of ancient Israel, wealth was primarily agricultural, grain, livestock, and vineyards. The first fruits weren't leftovers. They were the first and best portion offered before the harvest was fully known. Now, let's hit that statement one more time. The first fruits were the first and best portion that were offered before the remaining harvest is fully known. To give the first fruits was to say, "Lord, I trust you before I see the outcome." What a remarkably important distinction. Now, let's consider the key word of verse 9, which is honor. To honor the Lord means that acknowledging him, it means to treat him as weighty, valuable, and supreme. In Scripture, honor is visible. It shows up in priorities. What we honor, we arrange our lives around. So Proverbs is asking us a probing question. Does the way I handle money show that God is first or just simply present? This passage also rests on a foundational biblical truth. God owns everything. Psalm 24 says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it." As such, we're not owners, we're stewards. And stewardship always involves accountability. Honoring God with wealth is not about earning his favor, it's about responding to his grace. For believers today, this principle finds its fulfillment in Christ. Jesus became poor for our sake, that we might become rich in him. Our giving flows from gratitude. Now, we need to pause here because Proverbs chapter 3, verse 10 is often misunderstood. It says, "Then your barns will be filled with plenty." And the reason we need to pause is because this is not a promise of guaranteed wealth. It's not a prosperity formula. Proverbs are wisdom sayings, not blank checks that we can write and cash at our will. The point is not that God exists to increase our income. The point is that God faithfully provides for those who trust Him. Sometimes that provision looks like abundance. Sometimes it looks like contentment. But always it looks like faithfulness. So how do we honor God with our wealth today? Let me suggest three practical expressions. Number one, we honor God with priority. Giving God the first portion, not the leftovers, that may mean planning generosity, not improvising it. Now, if God is the priority of our life, then our giving should reflect that priority, which means the only way that we can allow our giving to reflect that priority is if we prioritize God in our finances, in our stewardship. Number two, we honor God with proportion. In Scripture, giving is intentional and it's sacrificial. It reflects trust, not just convenience. So when we give, we're giving in proportion to what we have. It's not really a simple standard of everyone gives the same amount, but we should give based on what we have been entrusted with. Number three, we honor God with purpose. Our generosity fuels gospel work, locally and globally. Our giving allows us, through the local church, to make disciples and to meet needs. You can see people who are giving with a purpose because their giving is not based just purely on tipping, nor is it based on obligation, but it's based on a deep conviction that through their giving, the gospel is being carried forth and the kingdom is expanding. So just a quick recap. What does honor look like today? It looks like priorities, it looks like proportion, and it looks like purpose. Now, let me speak pastorally for a moment. Some of you are listening today and you're under financial strain. It's a reality that you live in, and it's a reality that most, even those that aren't dealing with it today, have experienced in their own life. Honoring God does not mean ignoring wisdom or common sense. It means inviting God into the very places that feel most fragile. So if you're experiencing financial strain today, I just simply want to invite you, pastorally, ask God to come into that. If there's been financial strain that's self-inflicted, would you just acknowledge to God, God, I have not been the most responsible steward with what you've trusted me, and I need your help. Would you give me wisdom? Would you give me instruction? Will you provide through your Holy Spirit guidance for this particular season and this particular situation? Others of you are experiencing abundance. Scripture reminds us that abundance is not permission for self-indulgence, but an opportunity for stewardship. So I would say to you, if you're in a position of abundance, would you consider that God may be entrusting you with more because you're responsible for more? Would you think about how you could use what God has given you for kingdom causes, not just simply self-indulgence? No matter where you find yourself, God's invitation is the same. Trust me. Put me first. Honor me. As we conclude this four-week journey, I hope one truth has become clear. Biblical stewardship is not about money. It's about discipleship. Jesus doesn't want your wallet alone. He wants your heart. And when God has our hearts, our resources naturally flow. I want to leave you with this question to carry into the coming week. If someone examined your financial decisions, would they see evidence that you honor the Lord? So if someone were to take your financial decisions, your financial statement, could they examine that and draw the conclusion that this is someone who honors the Lord? Now again, it's very important that we understand, and I believe that last week's verse on 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, about joyful giving and joyful generosity spoke to this matter directly. It's important that we understand that stewardship is not about obligation, it's not about being compelled, It's about responding to who God is, how God is, and what God has provided. And stewardship is to keep in mind that everything there is belongs to God, and we've been entrusted to manage those things. So, are your financial decisions, are they such that honor the Lord? Do they reflect someone that has a proper perspective on who truly owns the things that we have, how what we give reflects the one that we prioritize, and what we hope to accomplish today through eternity, through our giving? Again, I want to thank you for joining me for the Shaped by Scripture podcast. If this series has encouraged you, I want to invite you to share it with someone who may need a fresh biblical perspective on money and faith. Hey, beginning next week, we'll start our next series, and I look forward to not only continuing to grow in our Bible verse memorization and understanding, but I look forward to us together being shaped by Scripture.